Good morning. It's good to be here with you today. By the way, I have kind of outlined my sermon here, and I may be referring to my notes quite a bit. We got into Galway yesterday from Dallas after traveling for about 13, 14 hours. So with the jet lag and everything, if I get lost up here, y'all just kind of bear with me. So, as Jason said, I'm a minister at Hampton Road Baptist Church in DeSoto, Texas, where he grew up and where Mandy went from the time she was about 15. Hampton Road is a small, well, I'd say a medium-sized church on the southern, one of the southern suburbs of Dallas. And we've been there for about 65, 66 years, I guess about 68 years this year. So we've been there for a while. Do what? 68 years. That's what I said. No, we haven't been there. The church has been there. My wife is confused. Our church has been there about 68 years. And we have been there 14 years this year. Patsy and I have been on staff at Hampton Road for 14 years. And so I did want to bring you greetings from Hampton Road Baptist Church. Hampton Road is very interested in Galway City Church. Jason comes back from time to time, and we used to get to visit with him, and he gives us a report about how things are going here. And I always love to hear those reports, and I'll talk about that just a little bit more. The reason I mention all this, and in way of greeting, the reason I mention this is I'm preaching today from Ephesians 1, 15 through 23, one of Paul's prayers. I asked Jason to read the passage of Scripture leading up to that prayer because that's kind of, it kind of lays the framework, the basis of that prayer. And in that prayer, he says, "Ever since I first heard about your faith," and as I was preparing the sermon today, I thought, "Ever since I first heard about Galway City Baptist Church, you have been on my heart. You have been a blessing to me." And so, as Paul says to the church at Ephesus, "Ever since I heard about your faith, I have been in prayer for you. You have been a blessing to me." And that is the message I wanted to bring to you today. I love the book of Ephesians. One of my favorite books of the Bible. Particularly, I love Paul's prayers, because the book of Ephesians is as if Paul is writing a letter to this church from his knees. And as he writes the letters, he becomes so overwhelmed with God's grace and God's love that he just can't help himself. He just falls to his knees again and begins to offer up a prayer for that church. And so that's where I'd like to go today. And it's interesting that you are celebrating the cross today. And Jason and I did not discuss this before I came. He didn't know what I was preaching from. But the emphasis today and this particular passage of Scripture just go together hand in glove. So let's look at chapter 1, verse 15, Paul's prayer of thanksgiving for the church at Ephesus. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and sealed him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above any rule and authority, power and dimension, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Starting in verse 3, and that's what I asked Jason to read this morning, God begins to list all of the wonderful blessings that come to us as believers in Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is writing, just by way of background, Paul is writing this letter. It's called Ephesians. It's probably a circular letter, actually, sent by Paul to the churches in Asia Minor. It was kind of a loop. Ephesus was the one, was the main seaport. And so it's probably written as a circular letter to be read among these churches. Now, the way we don't really know that, but the thought is there are very few personal references in the book of Ephesians. Almost all of Paul's letter, he gives greetings to different people, but not in the book of Ephesians. There are two reasons that may have happened. It could be that he knows everybody there so well that he's afraid to mention any names because he's afraid he'll leave somebody out. But more likely, it's because it's written to several churches, and it carries the name the book of Ephesians because that was the first book it was written, the first church it was written to. And so when the manuscripts were copied, the first one said to Ephesians. And so that's why we call it the book of Ephesians. But he's talking to Christians. He's talking to believers. He's talking to those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, you know, if you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, there's just a bunch of blessings that you enjoy because you belong to Christ. And in verse 3, he starts listing those blessings, and I'd like to talk just a little bit about that by way of introduction. God is blessing us through Jesus Christ in the heavenly realms, in the heavenly dominions, with every spiritual blessing. Now, I want you to think about that. As we struggle with things here on earth, and things don't seem to be going the way we would like them to go, even when things are going badly, God is piling up blessings for us in heaven. We are blessed by the blood of Jesus Christ in heaven, no matter what is happening here on earth. And it's spiritual blessings. It is blessings that cannot be taken away from us. They cannot be diminished. These are spiritual blessings that God is giving us daily. No matter what we encounter here on earth, God continues to bless us in the heavenly realms. Next, he said, God chose us before the creation of the world. Now, I'm not going to get into a predestination. That would be a series of sermons, and it would take a long time. Besides, Jason's the theologian, so I'll let him talk to you about that one later. Because I don't have a clue what that means exactly when it says that God predestined us. But I do know this. God knew us even before Adam committed the first sin in the Garden of Eden. He knew he would need to supply a redeemer. He knew his son would have to shed his blood on the cross for us. He knew that before he ever created this earth. And yet he did it anyway. He did it anyway. He knew his son was going to have to die if he created this group of beings with free will who could make mistakes. And he knew we would. And he knew he would need a redeemer. But he did it anyway. And not only that, he chose you and he chose me from all, and we're not the only ones he chose, obviously, but from all the billions of souls who have lived on this earth throughout history, he chose us. He chose us to be his. And again, I don't understand that. I don't know how that works in God's infinite mind and his infinite wisdom. He knows why he chose to do things that way. But I do know this. It was God that reached out to us, not us reaching out to him. What a wonderful thought. Paul tells us this to encourage us to say, You're a special group of people. God knew who you were, and he loved you anyway, and he chose you to be his. You didn't deserve it. It was nothing you did, nothing you could say, nothing you could do, but God chose you. God loves you. I don't know if that encourages you as much as it does me, but wow, what a wonderful, amazing thought. And then next, he gave us the key to the mystery of salvation. He says he gave to us a knowledge of the mystery of his salvation. Don't let that one go unnoticed in your mind. This is something that Enoch, the man who walked with God and who was no more because God took him, Enoch didn't know this. Moses didn't know this. The great patriarchs of Israel, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, didn't understand this. Nor did David or Solomon or the prophets, not even Daniel with his gift of discernment, knew this. We are the ones that God gave this gift of knowing the mystery of his salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ. We are the ones that know this. And Jesus himself put that plan together for us. Jesus himself put that plan together for us. Wow. We are a special group of people. And not only did God choose us, but Jesus personally guarantees our salvation. He is the guarantor of our salvation. We don't have to secure ourselves with God the Father. Jesus himself, his own son, by his death and his shedding of his blood, his resurrection from the dead, became the guarantor of our inheritance. Last, but certainly not least, among that list of blessings that we enjoy is that we, you and I, and followers of Jesus Christ, we are Jesus' glory. We are the reason, it is us that is the reason that Jesus is worthy of all praise. He died for us. That is what put his name above all names. Wow, we are worthy of his praise. Those are some pretty awesome blessings that Paul gives us to encourage us. And then Paul, in verse 15, makes this transition. For this reason. What reason? For this reason. That's why I want to go back to verse 3. For this reason, because of this list of blessings that Paul names here, he says, because of that list of blessings, for this reason, I am blessed by you, and I never stop giving thanks for you, and I never stop praying for you. Because as Paul discovered this group of faithful Christians because of their love of God and for the other saints, Paul was compelled to pray because he was so blessed by this group of people. Paul is blessed by them, gives thanks for them. I share in that blessing with you because I discovered this group of faithful believers here in Galway, Ireland, as Jason would come back periodically and he would talk to us in our church, and every once in a while he and I would get to go to lunch together. I began to just have this yearning in my heart to meet you because you were such a blessing to me. Every week at Hampton Road Baptist Church, we have a list of prayer concerns and people that we pray for. And every week, Jason and Mandy and this church are on our prayer list, and we pray for you because we're blessed because we know you. Now, let me tell you a quick story about this. In 2009, Patsy and I had the opportunity to visit Ireland on vacation. And so I got so excited about this because I'm like, wow, I'm finally going to get to meet people at Galway Baptist Church, Galway City Baptist Church. And so I sent off an email to Jason. And I said, Jason, I'm going to be there on this date in August, and I'll be on a tour, so I don't have any transportation, but is there any way maybe you could come by and pick me up and take me so I could visit your church that Sunday? And he said, Bob, that would be great. I'd love to do that, but I happen to be in the United States that exact day. And so ever since 2009, I've been plotting my way to get back here so that I could get to meet you. And then this year, I went on sabbatical. I'm making a pretty much around-the-world tour, visiting here and then Vilnius, Lithuania. And by the way, I just discovered this morning that I have connections in Lithuania, and y'all have connections in Lithuania too. I think y'all are supporting a gentleman there that does youth camps in Lithuania, and his name is Steve. By the way, my contact in Lithuania, his name is Steve too, but they're two different Steves. And so, but you know, it shows the interconnectedness of the Christian community because of that. And so ever since that time, ever since 2003, when Jason moved to Ireland, and I began to hear that a church had been established here, and I began to hear about what's going on, I've been praying for you. I have been blessed by you. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful thing for me to get to come here tonight, to this morning. You know, the good works of Christians all over the world impact every other Christian, don't they? The good works, the trials, the challenges, the victories, we impact each other. You know, we are not Christian communities in Galway, Ireland, and in DeSoto, Texas, and Vilnius, Lithuania, and in Yakutsk, Yakutia in the far northeastern corner of Russia. We're not individual Christian communities at all. We are the community of faith in Jesus Christ. And as a community of faith, what happens to one of us happens to all of us. And that includes our Christian brothers and sisters who are under persecution. As they are persecuted, we hurt just like they hurt. As we undergo trials, as the people in your church struggle financially, the people in DeSoto, we hurt with you. As you have great victories, we celebrate with you. We laugh together. We cry together. We are a community of faith. And that faith connects us. And just like this morning, I discovered, you know, I'm going to Vilnius, Lithuania. And Mark was telling me, well, you know, we have a gentleman in Vilnius, Lithuania. His name is Steve. I said, oh, it's probably the same guy. And he said, yeah, he's been there probably 20 years. I'm like, no, Steve's only been there about 8 years. Well, it turns out it's different Steves. But, you know, we have these connections that we enjoy. And that's the blessing that Paul's talking about, isn't it? He's like, when you're blessed, I'm blessed because of you. When this church is blessed, I am blessed because of you. When this church hurts, I hurt with you. By the way, the same is true in reverse. When the people of my community, when Hampton Road, when we have people that are struggling, when we have problems, I would like for y'all to pray for us because we need your prayers too. There's a lot of lethargy in the United States in the Christian church right now, and we need your prayers. You need to be in prayer for the United States of America and for the church in America, because our church is in some ways lacking the excitement that we need. And so we all have these interconnections. And that's what Paul is talking about. I couldn't help it, he said. I just felt compelled. I had to drop to my knees and pray for you. You're such a blessing to me. I've heard about your good works. I've heard about what's going on here. And I'm blessed. And because I'm blessed, I can't help myself. I've got to give thanks to God for you. I've got to pray for you. I've got to lift you up. And so We see that. And then Paul comes to the meat of his prayer. And I would like to take just a few minutes to talk about that, because he says, all right, as I'm blessed and as I offer up thanks to you, I have two requests that I consistently give to God for you. And I believe that each one of us should be praying this prayer for every other believer in Jesus Christ and asking for these two things. First, he asked that God would send his Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, so that they might know the Father better. Now, that's an amazing thought when we really come down to it. He says, I would ask God the Father that he would send his Spirit so that you might know him better, so that you might understand your Father in heaven like you understand your Father on earth. Now think about that for just a minute. Let that one sink in for just a minute. Our omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, who is infinite in his wisdom and his thinking. Paul is saying, you know, I know that nobody can understand that, but tell them who you are. Show them who you are. Show them how much love you have for them. Show them yourself personally. Show them yourself personally and let them know you better. What a wonderful prayer Paul offers up for us, that we might each be given the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we might actually know the unknowable. We should actually know what we cannot know. The depth of the thought and the love of God the Father. If we could plumb those depths, think what a blessing we would have in our lives. If we could truly understand that. And that's what Paul is praying for us. And I would hope that each of you would be praying that for your brothers and sisters every day. Father, let them know who you are. And then he says this, let them know who you are through wisdom and revelation. Now, I'm here to tell you that as much as I love and respect the Scripture, and as much as I think we need to gain wisdom of science and history and all of this, all of the wisdom that is available to us as Christians, and as Christians, I think we should seek to understand things better than the world, not less than the world. We should understand scientific thought. We should understand historical thought. We should understand philosophical thought. And we need to understand the Scripture. But Paul says, that's not enough. All of that's not enough. Unless God reveals himself to you in a supernatural way, you can't know the Father. Because these things are not enough. You can't know the Father without him personally revealing himself to you. Personally saying, this is who I am. By the way, that's not enough either. If all you do is sit around and pray and ask God, reveal yourself to me, but you never consult his word, that's not enough either. It would be like expecting your boss to give you a paycheck but never doing any work for it. You know, a little bit kind of that way. No, God expects us to gain wisdom, to study his word, to have a regular prayer time that we pray and study and gain in wisdom and understanding, but also that as we do so, we allow God's word to permeate our soul and let the voice of God permeate our soul. It's not an either or. We've got to have wisdom and revelation. Both have to be there, and they both have to be there simultaneously for us to understand who God is. And ultimately, as we study, as we pray, God, in his wisdom and in his time, will reveal himself to us in the fullness that he deems necessary to reveal to us. And so Paul asked that. He's like, Father, I would ask you that as they study your word, as they pray, as they seek your face, as they gain wisdom, as they gain understanding, that your spirit would come upon them and make all of that understandable, so that through their wisdom and through your revelation, they could know you in a way that they couldn't know you otherwise, that they could know the unknowable. And Paul's second request is very, very similar. It's really a continuation of the first, but he says, in addition to that, I want you to enlighten the hearts of these saints so that they can know personally the hope of their calling. We all have a calling. God doesn't put us here on earth without a purpose. He certainly doesn't save us and bring us into his kingdom and bring us into a right relationship with us, with him, with no purpose in mind. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And the hope of that calling is something that we need to experience in our lives. And Jason has already mentioned this several times, this hope. That's not a hope like, wow, I sure hope God would reveal to me what my purpose is. No, it's that confident expectation. It's that confident expectation that as I begin to know the Father better, and as I begin to know my Lord, the Savior, better, that God, I know God's going to reveal my call, you know, the hope of my calling to me, the hope of what I am put here on earth to do. And what does Paul say the hope of our calling is? There's actually, he says it very simply. The hope of our calling is that we inherit the very glory of God, that God would give us his glory, that's the hope of our calling. Wow. Now that's a thought. The hope of your calling is that as you do what God intends for you to do on this earth, that it brings glory to the Father. That is your inheritance, is that you can bring glory to the Father by exercising your calling. And then he says, I want you to reveal to them the extent of the power that the Father exerted when he raised you from death and sin to a newness in life. I want you to understand the power that took. I want you to understand what that took out of God the Father. What toll that exacted on him. He said, you know, it's the same power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead. What kind of a toll did that take on the Father? What kind of a toll did that take on? First, his son had to die. And then he had to overcome death in order for Jesus to be raised back to life. It was the power that raised Jesus not just from death, but above all rulers, all authority, all power, and all dominion. It was the power that gave him a name above every other name, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for all eternity. That's the power that God exerted to raise Jesus from the dead. It didn't just raise him from the dead. It put him above all things. It gave him dominion over all things. It seated him at the right hand of the Father, and it gives him dominion over everything. That power that God exerted in raising Jesus from the dead accomplished all those things. Now here, in my opinion, is one of the most fantastic statements of this whole passage of Scripture. It says, if God used that much power to raise his son from the dead, and if it takes the same amount of power every time he raises you from, you know, when he raised you from death and sin to newness of life, when he raised you from death and sin to newness in life, when he raised you from death and sin to newness in life, when he raised you from deadness, from the deadness of sin to newness of life, every single time it took that much power to do that. And God was willing to do that for us. But now here's the thing that makes this whole passage such a blessing to us and such an encouragement to us. He says, now get this. Paul says, now get this. This is my prayer. Because I want you to remember something. I want you to remember something. You're the fullness of Christ. You're the fullness of Christ. Christ cannot be complete without you. Even though Jesus is the fullness of everything, it is his church that is his body. And we give him fullness. Now, I'm going to tell you again, I don't understand how that's possible, because there is a sense in which Christ doesn't need us. Christ doesn't have a need. And yet there is a sense in which Paul says, you are the fullness of Christ. In you he is complete. You complete him. You make him who he is. That's a wonderful thought. I want you to ponder that. I want you to think about that. How much we mean to God. And the reason I say that this is a continuation of the first request is that Paul is literally saying, I want you to understand better who the Father is. And you can understand better who the Father is when you understand how much he loves you. And you can understand how much he loves you by the fact that it took the same amount of power to raise you from death to newness of life. Because Paul says earlier in Ephesians, he said, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We weren't in bad shape. We were dead men walking. We were dead. And as far as God was concerned, he had to raise us from the dead. He had to raise us from the dead. And so he had to exert that much power. And if that power was necessary to put Christ where he is, think how much the Father loves you to do that for you. And so my prayer to you this morning is that God would reveal to you just what Paul has asked God to reveal to the church at Ephesus, that his son cannot be complete without you, that you're important, that list of blessings that only come to those who have given their heart and their soul to Jesus Christ. Those of us who love God and who love other Christians throughout the world, to me personally, let the power of the Holy Spirit wash over you and show you how important you are to God the Father. So important that he would not only give his son to die, but that he would expend infinite power to raise him and to raise you from the dead. Because we are the first fruits of Christ. We have been raised from the dead to newness in life. We were dead men. We were dead women. And we are no longer dead. We are alive in Christ. And although he is the fullness of all things, we complete him. What a wonderful, wonderful thought. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the blessings that this church is to me personally. Thank you for their blessings to Christians around the world. Thank you for their love for you and for your saints. Father, I just pray that you would bless them in a way that they have not been blessed before, that you would give them a sense of how much you love them, how much you are willing to do for them. And Father, even though we understand that all of this needs to come to your glory because we are deserving of no glory, we thank you that you would share in that glory with us, that you would, through us, glorify your own name. Father, that you would be magnified as we find our purpose and our calling. Father, we just thank you that you are willing to do what you have done for us. And just, Father, we are just overwhelmed sometimes in gratitude, knowing the infinite love that you have for us. Father, we just ask that everything we do, everything we say, would bring glory and honor to your name, would bless you and bless our brothers and sisters around the world. For it's in the name of our wonderful and glorious Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Go ahead.